We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. This morning, I want to talk about the matters of the heart. I want to talk about how to be complete in Christ. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 4:23. I was praying and seeking the Lord this past week, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to share? And he started giving me a download and saying how, you know, a lot of times we share here about how you can be complete in Christ and how you just have to be a whole person. You have to just be, you know, just really just a whole person before, you know, you step into another level of, like, you know, in marriage or in relationships, or, you know, even if you're already in a marriage and in a relationship, but that God wants to make you whole. He wants to take out the things in your heart that aren't supposed to be there, and he wants to put in his heart. He wants to put in a heart of flesh. He wants to make you complete in Christ. So Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." I want to deal with matters of the heart, the unseen issues in a person's life. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that they either need to get set free from their past, or they need to know that God wants to heal their broken heart, that they don't have to live that way, that they don't have to stay that way, that God wants to mend your broken heart. And it says in Psalm 147:3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." So I want to share a message. I want to share a testimony on how God did this for me. I got saved radically, and I shared that most of it last two Wednesdays ago. So if you're interested in hearing that, you can go to riverrochester.com and hear the next level. But if I shared my testimony every week, I wouldn't get anywhere. But I want to give you the short version. So when I got saved, I was totally, like, living for the world with all my heart. And when I say that, I mean drugs, alcohol. I was in and out of different relationships. And every time I dated somebody, I gave a piece of my heart away that really was meant to kept whole for Jeremiah, which was really meant to kept whole for the Lord until it was my time that God would bring me my godly spouse and I would be with him. So when I go to Bible school, I have, you know, when I got saved, the Lord removed unforgiveness towards the guys, because I was in an abusive relationship and just guys had cheated on me and all these different things. So God really was able to do a work in my heart that I was able to forgive other people, to forgive them, and mostly to forgive myself for the awful things that I had done. And so when I go to Bible school, it was the first week, it was the revival week, and I'm sitting there and the announcements are going on, and all of a sudden, I get a text message from a previous relationship, something that was trying to, you know, come up, to rise up, to pull me out of the plan and purpose for my life. So I'm in this this service, the announcements are going on, and all of a sudden, the pastor, one of the pastors stands up, and he says, "Right now, there's someone right here where the enemy is trying to pull you back. He's trying to pull you back into your past life. And I want you to come forward right now. God's going to set you free from that. And you're never going to struggle with that again in your life." And without even being able to stand up, I'm sobbing uncontrollably. I mean, like, I've never felt the presence of God so strong. I was shaking. I couldn't move. Two ushers had to carry me from, like, the sixth row back all the way up to the front. And I laid on the ground on the service for almost the entire service. And God was just pulling so much out of me. He was just, it was like, and when I got off the ground, it was like God mended my broken heart. Every past relationship I was in, every abusive relationship, every nasty, awful thing that had happened to me, it was like God mended that and gave me a new heart. It was like that was not Julia anymore. And you know what's crazy is my roommate and I, we had made a video from the first day that we went down to Bible school. And I noticed I was still really, even though I was saved, I was still really crude. I was like, I was offensive. I would tease people. I was really, like, almost aggressive. And I still had some crudeness in me. And after that happened, we had watched after that week of revival, we had watched back this video that we made. And I saw that that's who Julia was. At the end of the week, I was so embarrassed of myself. I couldn't believe that even though I was saved, that's how I talked. That's how I acted. That's how I treated people. And I was like, you better delete that video right now. I never want to know anything about that person ever again. It was like God made me this really nice person when I wasn't a nice person before. When I did such awful, nasty things to people, that God made me a new heart, and he had done that to a level when I got saved, but it was like he was going that extra step. And so that's why I wanted to share this morning on the Lord mending the broken heart, because it's Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And, you know, now when I think about those past relationships and things, I don't even remember them. It's like God took them, threw them into the sea of forgetfulness, and I don't even recall the awful, nasty things that I did. I mean, every now and then when I'm sharing my testimony, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh my gosh, like I had no idea. Like it's as if I'm sharing a story about somebody completely else. And that's how you know when you're set free. That's how you know when God has done a deep work in your heart, that it doesn't affect you. It doesn't try and pull you back, but that you know that God has mended your heart and you don't deal with those issues anymore. So when I was at that stage of becoming complete in Christ, because I shared that last Wednesday that I was in a time of consecration, that I knew that I wasn't ready to make any major life-altering decisions, where I was going to live, who I was going to date, you know, what my career was going to be, who I'd marry, how many kids I'd want, etc. I was taking it one step at a time. God told me to go to Bible school, and that's it. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I am looking ahead at what Jesus wants to do in my life because there is a purpose for me. God has set me apart for a time so that he can use me to see other people get set free from that stuff, to see other people come to know Jesus on a greater level. And I'm telling you, I am so in love with Jesus. You know, I might be up here dancing, jumping around. I might be extra for some people, but I know God saved me from the pit of hell. I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to not even have your family want anything to do with you. I know what it's like to be alone. In that stage of my life, Jesus was it for me. God was it for me. The Holy Spirit was it for me. When I would come to church, God would be doing a work in me every single time. That first year of Bible school, I don't think there was a service. I didn't leave either crying or, you know, because crazy enough, after that abusive relationship, I never cried. I became so aggressive. I was in plenty of girl fights. It's kind of like crazy to say that, but I mean, bad stuff. I was not nice. Like I did awful, nasty things. And it was like when I was in that stage of being alone and even feeling like I was by myself, that my parents didn't even want anything to do with me because they thought I was in a cult. Here's a girl who gets set free from drugs, alcohol, and you know, has post-traumatic stress disorder from being completely abused in relationships. And my parents didn't want anything to do with me because they thought I was too in love with Jesus. Because I was so, like, I was changing so radically. Like, maybe you're just going a little too far. But, you know, religion always wants to keep you comfortable. Religion always wants to keep you at a level that it doesn't offend anybody. That we're okay with this level. We're okay if you go to Mass on Sunday, you know, for an hour and you do your stand-up, sit-up thing. But when you're talking about Jesus can set you free from things, when you're talking about eternity, that's a little bit too much. And so, you know, my family, they couldn't go to that level with me. They didn't, you know, and I had gotten to a point where I didn't care what my family, I didn't care what my friends thought about me. I didn't think twice about going to Bible school because I knew that's what God called me to do. And he was the only one who loved me. He was the only one who was there for me in a time when I was completely broken. So, you know, I want to share how God can heal the broken heart and do that this morning as well for people, because I believe there's people here that you've grown up either in broken homes and broken marriages. You've had things happen in your life and God wants to heal you. God wants to do a work on your heart so deep that when you get up off the ground, people will begin to say, what's different about you? Who are you? You are not who you were yesterday. You are not who I thought you were. So the matters of your heart determine everything from how you treat people to what major paths you choose in life. This all affects how we parent, how successful we will be in the workplace, how we treat others, the success of our marriage, and how far we will go with God. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 17. And I can already see the anointing coming and touching people. I know that God has a plan for people here this morning, that he wants to mend some broken hearts. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Let's stop there for a second. So it's talking about Christians that don't live, Christians are not meant to live like the world. They're not meant to live the way TV, the way Hollywood, the way, you know, even sometimes our families and friends do. Whatever your convictions are, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to take out of your life, let him do it. And don't compare yourself to other people and think, well, so-and-so does that, so that means that, you know, I'm not as far gone as them, so I'm a little bit better than that. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do it. So a lot of people would avoid heart issues if they would just follow God's word. And God is so gracious to deliver us from our destructions, because everything that happened to me was my fault. It was my choice. I put myself in relationships. I put myself in situations where there was drugs and alcohol. I put myself in every scenario that caused me heartache and pain. God didn't have to deliver me from that, but he's gracious, and he did. He is so gracious, and he's a loving God, and he delivers us from our destructions. So in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Sometimes our hearts are blind. We cannot trust ourselves. We cannot trust our feelings. We can only trust the word of God. We can only trust faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to the lewdness, which means crude or offensive in a sexual way, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You have to learn Christ. You have to learn God's ways. You have to learn what is the right way. What is the Christian walk? You're not just all going to get that the moment you get saved and think that you have a complete understanding of the word of God in every area. You have to begin to go on this journey that either you allow God to come and touch and do a work in your heart, and at the same time, you are reading God's word and you're allowing it to pierce your heart so that you know what is okay and what is not. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none beside him. There is none before him. There's none after. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that you put off concerning your former conduct. It's a choice we have to make. Do we want to stay away from the things that pull us back to our old nature, or do we want to go forward and be more and put on that truth that is Christ? The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is another step of being complete in Christ. You have to make the decision. You are going to renew your mind. I mean, for me, it was like the TV shows, the movies, everything. There has to become a standard in your life that you say, this is okay and this is not. Because otherwise, that old man tries to creep back up and tries to pull you back to the way that you used to be. So according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. You have to put on the new man. The new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God wants to call his people to another level of holiness. He wants to call his people to another level of righteousness. You know, when I got saved, I didn't do any of those former nature things that I had when I wasn't a believer. I didn't do them anymore. I didn't do them at all anymore. I didn't even surround myself with people that did those things. You know, and it was awesome that I went to Bible school, because I actually began to start to learn this, because I got saved, and then for about 4 or 5 months, I was in Pennsylvania, that's where I'm from, and I was hanging out with my Christian crowd, They were all completely backslidden now that looking back on it, because they would say they're a Christian, but they would still go to the clubs, the bars. They would still be getting, you know, rip roaring drunk. They'd still be sleeping around. And here I am, this little Christian girl. Anytime I was at a party, I would just be like telling people about Jesus. Like, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. But eventually it would have caught up with me with being in that situation. Being in situations of the old nature, that the enemy would have probably tried to come in my mind and mess with me and think, well, it's just one drink, you know, like it's moderation. You'll be okay with it, you know? And so I had to come to a place when I went to Bible school, I had to call all of those friends that I had and said, I love you. I wish you the best, but I need a time of just like kind of separating myself and just doing what God wants me to do. All of them thought I was crazy. All of them thought I was too religious. All of them thought I was, you know, a Jesus freak. But I stand before you today and I tell you the two of my best friends, one of them's now in an abusive relationship, in a live-in relationship, and she calls me and she says, will you please pray for me? I have all these issues. I don't know what to do. And then the other one, she was married. She kept going to the clubs and the bar as a Christian. She cheats on her husband. And now she's their marriage, they're divorced. They have 3 kids and she wants nothing to do with her kids anymore. And I stand here before you today because I did what God told me to do. Hallelujah. So some things aren't going to make sense right then and there when God tells you to do something. People are going to call you crazy. People are going to think you're just too far gone. You're too a little far over towards, you know, Bible thumping. Whatever, because I've heard it all. They've called me all of those things. But when I knew what God had done for me, what I knew what Jesus did for me, that he set me free, I didn't want anything to do with that former life, and I was willing and obedient to do anything that God had for me to do. So you can allow God to change your heart. He can make all things new. You know, because even still, if I didn't take that time that God was doing a work on the inside of me, not to seek after him, if I would have ended up in a marriage with Pastor Jeremiah, there was so much baggage. There was so much drama that had happened in my life. I didn't even grow up in a godly marriage, so I didn't know what anything looked like. I had no idea what respect was. I had no idea what love actually really felt like, other than what Jesus was beginning to do in my life. But, you know, I didn't have anything pointing to me to see, this is the example of Christ. But when I got to the point where I'm just like, I'm going after Jesus, I'm looking to what he has, he began to make all things new. So let's discuss the heart. What I've experienced, I was the definition of a broken, incomplete individual. I was abandoned, abused, lied to, cheated on, manipulated, taken advantage of, disrespected. I experienced it all. I had so many insecurities. I needed a relationship to feel complete. And there's some people in a marriage where they need their spouse to feel complete. And that's not the way that God wanted it to be. The Bible says that 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. Your marriage is ordained by God because he wants you to do more for the kingdom of God together than you could ever do by yourself. And you better make sure you marry the right person if you're not here this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not married, you better make sure you marry the right person, because if God has a call of God on your life but not on your spouse, how are you going to fulfill that? How are you going to do all that God has for you to do if you marry the wrong person? God took that whole year of consecration that he was mending my heart. He was making me whole. He was taking out the awful, nasty things from 21 years of seeing my parents' marriage that was not a godly marriage. You know, even sometimes when Pastor Jeremiah and I, when we first got married, I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I sound like my mother. Oh my gosh, I'm comparing Jeremiah to what my father did, and I put these expectations on him thinking that he's going to be the same way as him. For example, like my dad does all the driving, so I just assumed Jeremiah would do all the driving. Like he's just going to drive everywhere, anytime, because I hated driving. I assumed the toaster would go on this side because that's where I grew up with it. It goes on this side of the fridge, you know, whatever. He's like, what are you doing? It doesn't go there. It goes by the, you know, the cutting board when you cut bread. You know, and here, I don't cook, so why am I even saying anything about a toaster? You know, I can toast things, guys. Trust me, I can do that. I can hard-boil, you know, hard-boiled egg. Actually, I can't do that. In Bible school, I hard-boiled eggs about like 3 or 4 times. I'd walk into my room, and then like 5 minutes or so would go by, and they've bursted and just like everywhere. So I'm like, all right, so I'll stay away from hard-boiled eggs. But I'm getting better, praise the Lord. My husband's a great cook, so we kind of worked that out. Anyway, so, you know, when the Lord was completing me and doing that work on the inside of me, he was preparing me for Jeremiah. He was preparing me. And the longer that I've been married, I realized that in his strengths, maybe are some of my weaknesses, and that iron sharpens iron, and he is pushing me further to become a better person, and vice versa. We don't complete each other in the sense that we need each other. We are on a mission together for the kingdom of God to fulfill all that he has for our life. Hallelujah. So I have here three major areas the devil tries to destroy people's heart: with abandonment issues, feeling lost or unwanted, the brokenhearted. If he can destroy, and you know, for example, if he can destroy a marriage, he can take down the whole family. Unseen death, a breakup that rocks your world. And then number three, a defeated mindset. If you don't even have the fight, the will to continue, you've already been defeated in your mind. What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you want to go forward? And I feel that the enemy likes to put these three things on people to mess with them, to hold them back. But God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. He's come to mend the broken heart, to set us free, to take us from glory unto glory. And today I believe that God wants to move in the heart of his people. Things that maybe you haven't thought of in years, but still, it's still there, buried down deep. When I was in Bible school, there were so many things I didn't even know. There's still things that I don't even know that God was doing. It was a continual of just pressing in and receiving a touch from God to work on my heart to take me to becoming complete in Christ. So, or maybe something the devil uses against you, any chance he gets to try and hold you back. Maybe there's this one thing, whenever you try or you feel like you're trying to go forward with God, you're trying to go to the next level, you're trying to walk in faith, and the enemy reminds you of your past. He reminds you of what you've done. He reminds you of this area of sin, and he tries to hold you back from them. But God wants to remove all the junk. He wants to remove the offenses. He wants to remove the being taken advantage of, the manipulation, all the crap that has happened over the years. The Lord wants to remove it, gone, totally gone, that it doesn't affect how you make decisions, what places or things you decide to do, but that it's gone. When you talk about it, you have an opportunity then to share your testimony, to see other people get set free and go to the next level. That when you pray for them, you see a miracle take place and you say, look, this is what God did for me. This is what God brought me out of. This is what God healed me of. And it doesn't hold you back. So issues from a broken heart, the loss of a job, a divorce, the loss of a loved one, gone, removed. You don't have to live with hurt. You don't have to live with pain, and you don't have to live with suffering anymore, because Jesus said he's come to what? Give life and life more abundantly. And I don't know what abundant life would be, you know, baggage and suffering and pain and heartache and everything always trying to pull you back. God can't use broken vessels to the full capacity as he can a whole one. If you think about a water balloon, it has a little hole in it and there's like a leak coming out. Eventually the balloon's empty, right? Eventually there's no more water in the balloon. And so either as believers, we have to continue to fill that balloon up. We have to continue to make that hole so that we can pour out onto other people, or we gotta have the Lord come and clog that hole up so that we can be whole and that he can use us to the full capacity that he wants to in our life. So many people aren't being used to their full potential because they are holding on to pain and suffering in their life. Things from when you were a child, things from when you were a teenager, things from when you were a young adult, all these different things that have happened. I don't know what it is, and I don't care, but I know the one who can heal the heart. I know the one who can set you free. I know the one who can do a work deep down on the inside of people to make them whole. It's all about Jesus. I have no power to do anything, but I'm here today to tell you because I'm so thankful that God did this for me, and he's no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. So these are things that people say to hold on to their baggage. Yes, God, you can have, this, but let me wallow in my self-pity or carry this pain. Some people will let God go to a certain point, but when he's like, no, surrender all. Give it all to me. So much so that when you don't even talk about it anymore. It's not even in your heart anymore. You have to surrender every area of your life. That's why we have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we're not playing religion, because God wants you to be set free in every area of your life. Hallelujah. So some people say, it's my cross to bear. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Everything happens for a reason. God can use my baggage to relate to other people. Well, what about Romans 8:28? And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You have a purpose for your life. You have a purpose to impact and reach other people that nobody else would ever be able to reach. And so why don't you let him remove what's hindering you in your heart and take away the pain, so when you talk about it and pray for people, they get set free themselves. Hallelujah. Because he can work all things together for good, but it's not something that you have to carry with you for the rest of your life. If you get set free from it, it's never an issue in your life again, unless you open the door. But when God sets you free, it's gone. It's totally gone. And so God doesn't want you to be on antidepressants. God doesn't want you to be on painkillers. God doesn't want you to deal with the storm. He wants to set you free from the storm. He wants to remove the storm. God not only wants to restore you, he wants to make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You were all called to the ministry of reconciliation. There is a purpose for your life to see people be set free and changed as well. So God wants to do the work in you first, so then he can do it through you to touch other people. But you are a new creation in Christ, and you have to accept that. You cannot think of yourself of that old person, the old things you used to do, the old life that you used to have. You are new. You are new. And so I allowed God to go deep in every area of my life to remove what didn't belong and put in what needed to be there. Now, I don't even remember my past relationships. I don't even understand, like, or even think about what had happened in the past. Totally, completely set free. So Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, but I will do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. This morning, God wants to come and touch you and change your life to do a new thing, to set you free from all of that. Hallelujah. So I want to end with this morning, because I'm going to give the Lord an opportunity to come and to minister to people and to work out what he needs to work out, because it's his service. You are his people. He loves you above and beyond, and he wants to do a work in the hearts of people this morning. So God can make the path straight so that you don't struggle. And I understand we're all on a different levels and going through different things. So it doesn't matter what God is doing in a different person's heart this morning, but your identity is found in Christ and you are a new creature in Christ. You can stop today and say to yourself, God, whatever it is that you don't want in there, I surrender all. I give it all to you. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:39 says, and he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Find yourself in Christ and surrender every area to God. I have 8 steps here. What I think the life of a Christian believer could look like, or the major steps that I think it looked like in my life and can look in another individual. First, you have salvation. Then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you come to the altar and you let God remove any junk, anything that's not meant to be in there. Then you get victory over sin. Then you renew your mind. Then you discover who you are in Christ. You continue being filled with the Spirit. And then lastly, you start producing good results in your life. Hallelujah. God wants to use your life. And I want to end with this testimony. So after I got saved, I went to a missions trip in Hawaii. My boyfriend, and then at the time, he was the boyfriend that actually led me to the Lord, how I got saved, and later realizing that, like, he was a backslidden Christian. He was still living his life completely in sin, and his excuse was, well, once saved, always saved. God saved me, and so, like, I can live any way that I want. God will cover, you know, grace covers everything in my life. And I just, that didn't like kind of sit right with me. So basically him and I both raised money to go to this missions trip in Hawaii. And I was the only one that went. Last minute, he decided not to go, and he kept all the money from everybody that donated to him to go to this missions trip. And that was like really something that stayed with me, that it was like, who is this person? Like, and I'm staying with this guy because I thought, well, he was with me when I was Catholic. He was with me when I was going through all of this struggle and heartache. Like, I should stay with him and pray and believe that, like, he's going to get his life right. Now he's like a coke dealer in New York City. So, but I go to Hawaii on this missions trip, and these two ladies who discipled me, I asked them, I said, I don't know. I think that this guy that I'm dating, I don't think he's the one. And they both looked at each other and they were like, duh. They were like, we could all see it, but you couldn't. And our hearts sometimes are blind. We sometimes convince ourselves and think that we need to do something or stay with someone or be with someone because we think that we're going to be the reason to make them better. But I'm so thankful that I called him when I was in Hawaii, and I broke up with him. But before that, I sat there after these two sisters left. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, if this is not who you want me to be with, if this is not your plan, if this is not your purpose, then I'm crying out to you right now, and I need you to remove all of the feelings, all of the soul tie that I have with this person, that I think this is who I'm supposed to spend my life with. I need you to remove all of that, do a deep work in my heart, and completely set me free. Right after that phone conversation, or that encounter that I had with God, crying out to him, it was like God came into my heart and totally ripped him out. And I didn't care about him like that at all anymore. I had no feelings whatsoever. And so I called him. I broke up with him right away because I was like, God, I made a promise to you. You said, if I asked you if you would do this, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to fulfill, you know, my promise to you. I broke up with him. I never saw him again in my entire life. And like I said, now we know the end story is like he's not even serving the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you cry out to God this morning, if you cry out and let God go to the inner parts of your heart, then he can remove those feelings. He can remove anything that's not supposed to be there. And then you begin to get a clear vision and direction for what God actually wants to do in your life. So many people are going to college, or they're going to, you know, to school and different things because they're fulfilling an emotional need. They had somebody die from cancer, so now they want to find a cure for cancer. They have somebody who, you know, this happened in their family. They're a lawyer, so now I'm going to be a lawyer. Why don't you save the $100,000 of debt and figure out what is it that God wants you to do with your life? And it begins with him coming and mending that broken heart. It begins with him coming and making you a whole and complete in Christ, so then you can actually have clear vision and understanding of what is it, God, that you want for my life.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.